Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all this morning. It's good to be here. Paige and I are very excited. The kids don't really even know what's going on, but we're very excited to be here with you. We had been up in March and to come talk with you and speak for a little bit, and it's felt like so long since then. And so it's good to be here and to call this new place home. We've heard so much about you as a group over the years, all sorts of great things about your work ethic and the good work that you're all doing here. And so it's really exciting to get to be a part of that. I'm still learning how things kind of work here, as you can see. And so let me know as time goes on. I'll appreciate that very much. And hopefully I can be a help to you as you're a help to me already, just even this morning. Turn your Bibles over to 2 Corinthians. We're going to be all over the book. That will make this picture hopefully make some more sense in a second. But we're going to be in 2 Corinthians, and we'll go ahead and start in chapter 7 and verse 14. When we were here last in March, we preached a lesson called For Your Sakes from 2 Corinthians. And the idea behind that lesson, and I'm trying to remember the word that Roger came up for it. It was expositopical lesson. There it is. Of how to kind of go through the book and pick out themes, working kind of verse by verse according to a theme. So we're not going straight through the book like an expository lesson would, and we're not doing quite a topical lesson either. It's kind of a mix of both of those. And since we did that in March, I figured, well, let's just keep pulling on all the other themes and work through the rest of 2 Corinthians and all the rest of the ideas that Paul brings up, at least in a general flow. And so what hopefully we'll see by the end of all these lessons over the next several weeks is that there are several themes that weave themselves throughout the book, and we're just going to take a little tug on each thread and just kind of see what it does. And then by the end of our series, we'll have had a great overview, I'm hoping, of the book of 2 Corinthians, which I don't know about you, but for me, 2 Corinthians is kind of flyover territory a lot of the time, and we don't spend so much time there, except for maybe the collection in chapters 8 and 9. And so I wanted to understand the book, and so this was my attempt at that, and I hope it helps you understand it a little better, too. So 2 Corinthians chapter 7 is where we'll start, and you can get your Bibles over there and ready to go. But kind of taking a look at this picture, I wonder if you know anybody who maybe behaves a little bit like the creature that God has graciously designed here. If they behave a little bit like this, maybe a little puffed up, or, you know, we say a kind of a blowfish type character, somebody who boasts a lot, a bit arrogant, and he's got a little prickly bits on here too as well. And so maybe they're prickly. Maybe they're a braggart who just you can't really stand being around. And when you talk about things like a person who boasts a lot, or you might say the word overconfident a lot, sometimes that's just not always fun to be around. Just like maybe a shark going through this reef. He's not going to be very interested in this guy. He's just no fun to be around. And so I wonder if you've ever kind of known somebody like that, or wondered, you know, do I boast too much? Do I talk about things pertaining to myself too much? What does that really mean? Is there anything that the Bible says about that sort of idea? And there is, but we're going to kind of tweak our understanding of boasting a little bit as we work through our lesson this morning. And what we're going to do then is, and if I can see a remote here, actually, I forgot to ask beforehand, to advance slides here. Just holler out if you know where it is. There we go. We'll start moving on through that way. So the title of our lesson this morning is Boasting in Confidence. And we're going to look at the Bible's approach to this sort of thing to try and understand, is this acceptable? Is this something that I can do, should do? Do I do it at all? And what should I do if I see it in other people? And so we're going to look through 2 Corinthians as much as Paul has a ton to say about this. So let's go ahead and define some terms before we get into the scripture. And there are two main terms I want to define. The first one is boasting, and then the second one is arrogance. And so I don't know if we're going to do this in order here, but let's go ahead and define arrogant, because I think that's typically the idea that we get from kind of that blowfish type characters. That's a person who you might describe as an arrogant type person. Oxford's English Dictionary defines arrogant as having or revealing an exaggerated sense of one's own importance or abilities. And so I think the key word of that definition is an exaggerated sense. And so, for instance, I'm starting a new work this morning. You've probably started in new jobs or different works as well. And when you go to do those sort of things, the boss will ask you, tell me about yourself. Or, you know, things like, where are you planning to see yourself in the next 5 years? Or, tell me some skills that you have. And you might sit there, and if you wonder, maybe you've been raised that boasting is not something that you should do, you wonder, can I like say anything about myself in good conscience? Can I reveal truths about things that I can do or things that I have done in the past? Is it too much to say that maybe I've gotten this award for leadership or whatever the case might be? Is that too much to say? Well, here this definition for arrogant, I think, kind of helps understand this a little bit. It's an exaggerated sense of one's own abilities and importance. And so you may be an important person in your company. That company might not be able to function without you. And that's just the truth of that. But it can be exaggerated, can't it? And it can be overblown, kind of like that blowfish. And so the idea of being arrogant is definitely not something that you're going to see the Christian be. And we'll look through this as we go through 2 Corinthians. But when we come to boasting, then, we often equate those two terms. We say those are the same, those are synonymous. A boaster is an arrogant person. But I don't think that's how Paul quite sees it. So let's define boasting here, or to boast, in the verb in English. Oxford English Dictionary defines it as to talk with excessive pride and self-satisfaction about one's achievements, possessions, or abilities. In the English definition, arrogant and boast sound almost exactly alike. Exaggerated sense, excessive pride. Those sound the same. And so when you and I use in a modern way the word for boast, that's something that you and I probably shouldn't be involved in, an overinflated sense of self. However, Paul uses this word, and in our English Bibles, the word boast regularly comes up, but he doesn't mean it this way at all. He means it in the original sense, in the Greek sense. The word there in Greek is kalkeis, which is defined as to glory, to have or to give reason for boasting. So there's where you get the word boast. You'll see here in just a second. It is a verb, of course. It means to joy, to exalt, to undertake a complimentary testimony. And by that definition, I've already boasted a bunch this morning, just in these past few minutes. I boasted about you, about the congregation in Dublin. I boasted about we're excited to be here, and I don't think that's overinflated or exaggerated. I think that's the truth of the matter. Expressing true statements about things that just exist, that is to boast. But there's even a smaller other addition that we can bring into this, and that someone who boasts is someone who displays a confidence in something. So if you're at the job place and maybe you've got a difficult job, a stressful job, a technical job, where if you mess it up, maybe someone gets hurt, maybe equipment gets destroyed, all sorts of different things could happen from that, that if you're going to be involved in this sort of thing and say, I can do this job, I can work this equipment and not hurt anyone, that is displaying a confidence in your abilities. And, you know, just like Clint Eastwood said, a man's got to know his limitations. And so if you know that sort of thing, you know where it's too dangerous to operate this machinery, you know that you can do it in these conditions, that's a boast, and that's just an expression of the true statement of what's happening. And that Paul does that all over this letter. So let's go ahead and keep going then. Let's start reading 2 Corinthians 7, verse 14. And Michaela, thank you so much for working through these with us. 2 Corinthians 7, 14, one of the things that we're going to understand about this is that if you're going to boast, express a true statement of a confidence in a thing, maybe that's a person or an object or your skills or whatever, that misplaced confidence always leads to shame. And so, shouldn't it be important then that our confidence is placed in something that doesn't fail? So, my skills in whatever job it is that I do or that you do, those can work for a time, but maybe I might not be as sharp some days as in other days. Maybe I need to, you know, pull back on working on this machinery, just like the Benadryl commercials say, do not operate heavy machinery after taking this medication. Maybe I need to pull back on something because there's a reason why I shouldn't have confidence in a certain thing. You'll see it here in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 14, where Paul, talking to the Corinthians, says, for if in anything I have boasted to him about you, I was not put to shame, but as we spoke all things to you in truth, so also our boasting before Titus proved to be the truth. So Paul's saying, I told Titus all about you guys, and since you've lived up to the expectation of the truth of how I saw you, then I'm not going to be ashamed when if Titus shows up and he goes, Paul, the Corinthians are nothing like you said they were. And so, in that same way, sense of speaking, I've boasted in you. You've been boasted of to me by other people, and I'm proud to say and excited to say that that has lived up to its expectation. So let's go ahead and keep going now through 2 Corinthians. Let's go to chapter 1 in verse 12. And I want to see now, since we've defined our terms, I want to see what boasting looks like in action. Where it moves, what it does, how what shapes it takes. Because remember, you and I, in our English usage of the word boast, equate that with arrogance. And so we're going to kind of have to forget what you think of boasting in other ways of life, in other areas of life. We're going to try and use the way that Paul uses it, see how he applies it here in the text, and then start to look around in the world and see what it looks like, how boasting takes shape in action. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12, Paul gives a good description here of things that the Corinthians and then you and I can boast in as well. Paul says, "For our proud confidence is this, the testimony of our conscience that in holiness and godly sincerity, not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God, we have conducted ourselves in the world and especially toward you." So notice there, Paul makes a mention of confidence in the beginning of verse 12, at least in the New American Standard. And so we are automatically talking about boasting here, that you are making a declaration, or here in this sense, he says, a testimony of these things which he has done, which Corinth is hopefully doing as well. And so he is showing a boast. He is expressing a confidence in things that we know are true. So the question then is it okay to boast in the things that you do? Well, if it's true, and if it's what Paul says is worth confidence, is worthy of confidence. So here in verse 12, you see here that, can we say about ourselves that we walk in good conscience? And if you look at your life and you say, I can't say that, well then okay, then you can't boast in this thing. But if you're making and ordering your life so that it fits with the will of God, like in our Thessalonians class this morning, that we're walking worthy of God, we're walking to please Him. And if you're doing that to the best of your ability, you might not know everything that's going on about this or that or the ins and outs of it, maybe even other places of Scripture, but if as far as you understand you are doing what you can to walk worthy of Christ, well then you can say as much. You can say, I'm operating in good conscience. And that's a boast. It's an expression of truth. Remember, Paul says this in other places in the Scripture where he at a certain point in his life thought that the murder of Christians was acceptable and pleasing to God. Where he thought that arresting them for serving Christ was what was right to prevent blasphemy. And then right after a couple of verses where he describes that, he says, I have operated in all good conscience before God. So he was wrong, but he did the best that he could, thinking that this was what God had wanted as he previously expressed. So you can say, I walk in good conscience. And that's a boast. And that's something that God expects of us, to walk in good conscience. You can look through that verse as well. Verse 12, keep going just a little bit in there. You can see that if I walk in simplicity, if I walk in holiness, if I walk in godly sincerity, if I walk with heavenly wisdom, if I walk by the grace of God, surely I can express my confidence in these things. That by His grace, He's allowed me to live a certain way for His good service. Let's go to chapter 6 and verses 3 through 10, and we'll go to our next slide there. Do you prove yourself? Do you live your life in such a way where when God says, okay, here's what I would like to see of you, that I mold myself to His image of that, of what He wants me to be, and when I live that thing and do that thing and God's goodwill is proved to be true and that I've proved myself true to it, I can express that truth of that statement, that I wanted to do what was right and God has given me the direction for that, and if I do so, then there's a confidence in that. Chapter 6 in verses 3 through 10, Paul says as much here. Chapter 6 verses 3 through 10, he says, giving no cause for offense in anything so that the ministry will not be discredited, but in everything commending ourselves as servants of God. That's a boast. That's an expression of confidence of a true statement. I'm commending myself to you, he's saying to Corinth. If we keep going here, commending ourselves as servants of God in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying, yet behold, we live, as punished, yet not put to death, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, and having nothing, yet possessing all things. Oh, man. I wish you could spend sermons on that, just unpacking everything that's in there, and we just don't have the time for it. But looking through that, you see the things that are going on in Paul's life. He's being beaten, thrown into jail, shipwrecks, but he's also growing in verse 7 in the word of truth. He's using the power of God, armed with them as if weapons for his left and his right hand. And as you go through there, people are saying things about them that nobody knows you, Paul. You're not important. Or things like, you're just dying out. You're in jail now. You'll be dead before the month is over. And yet Paul says that he can boast or express truth in a confidence that he lives. And even if he dies in jail, or even if those beatings kill him, or even if he isn't known by other people, or other folks call him evil, doesn't matter. Because he knows the truth, and will share that as often as he can. He'll boast in the truth based on his confidence in God. I love that last line of verse 10 where he says, I own nothing, I have nothing, yet I possess all things. Now, kind of take this out of this context for a second, and if you had somebody in your work or your family or school or whatever, and they said, man, I own everything, like I own all the stuff, and so you think you have a nice car, well, I got all the cars and they're nicer than yours, and you'd look at that guy and go, ugh. But when you're talking about the spiritual things, Paul can say, I own everything through God, and that's not arrogant, that is a boast, because he's confident in the one who bestows everything to him. Let's keep going a little bit more. Let's go to back to chapter 1 and verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 13. Let's see here. When we talk about boasting and different things that pertain to kind of our own skills, just something to keep in mind is that, sure, you may not have to broadcast everything that you do or everything that you say, but there are more important things to talk about that should be talked about. And here in verse 12 and 13, Paul talks about his confidence in them and in his conscience. And in verse 13 there, he says, for we write nothing else to you than what you read and understand, and I hope you will understand until the end. And so Paul is sharing these things with them that are more important than just physical existence. Now, I do want to finish up this point before we go into our next one. Let's go to chapter 11 and verse 16. And I do want to express kind of the negative of this. In other words, this is good boasting, and I think something that should be done, but there is foolish boasting, and you know it already. We've talked a little bit about it. But Paul's going to be a little bit more specific here in the Scriptures, too. So let's go to chapter 11 and verses 16 through 29. And by specific, I mean in principle. He's going to show us kind of a basket that has a label on it that says foolish boasting. And you and I can understand enough to throw in things that we see as foolish boasting. So this basket will label in the flesh, that boasting in the flesh, boasting in the temporary things, and this isn't just like meat and bone, but this is like the earthly, the sensual, the demonic, to borrow James's words from his letter. It's the things that just pertain to this realm that is passing away, that's going to be burned up eventually. And here in chapter 11 and verse 16, if it's going to be burned up eventually, you can't really have much confidence in it, can you? So the pew that you're sitting on, you have confidence enough to expect that it won't collapse under you at any given moment, and you could probably say that to the person next to you, I don't think this pew is going to collapse today, and they go, okay, that's weird. And so as you're looking at this, though, if you look at long term, that bench is going to turn to dust, and maybe it'll do it in your lifetime, maybe it'll do it in your children's, but eventually it's all going to go away. So if we look at all of these things, and you look at our jobs and what I know and my schoolwork and my awards and all this different stuff, if I take that out to the eternal, it's going away. I can't put any more confidence in that. I got to find something that I can. Chapter 11 and verse 16, Paul talks about it this way. He says, again, I say, let no one think me foolish, but if you do, receive me, even as foolish, so that I may also boast a little. So he's going to show us, here's some foolish boasting. Here's what this looks like. Verse 17, what I am saying, I am not saying as the Lord would, but as in foolishness, in this confidence of boasting. Since many boast according to the flesh, I will boast also. For you being so wise, tolerate the foolish gladly. For if you tolerate it, if anyone enslaves you, anyone devours you, anyone takes advantage of you, anyone exalts himself, anyone hits you in the face, to my shame, I must say that we may have been weak by comparison. But in whatever respect anyone else is bold, I speak in foolishness. I am just as bold myself. And on he goes through his resume. He says, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. I'm this, I'm that. I'm of the descendants of Abraham. And so he boasts in these things that will pass away. And these are expressions of truth, but they don't lead to the one that we can have the most confidence in. And so here's where we start to change what we've talked about so far, is that there's boasting, an expression of truth. It's a thing that happens and it's not false. But where is it going? What's it pointing to? In other words, when you boast about something, you are inherently teaching people about where your confidence lies. So, when you're talking about your job and the accolades that you have, those are true things, but what are you going to teach people about those things? For instance, you could say that, you know, I've gone to school for all these years and I've done all this stuff and I worked really hard and I got all of this by the, you know, sweat of my brow and the grit of my teeth and on I go, and then that'd be the end of it. Or we could talk a little bit about the one who's blessed us by his grace with enough ability to do something to serve him simply and quietly so that he can receive the glory for all things. And so a boast is an expression of truth, but there is foolish boasting which leads to self-centeredness. Not even just exaggerated on its own, just a sense of self which is important, more important than the one who provided us with opportunities. We can read all the way down to 33 if we want to, but you can see all these different descriptions that Paul has gone through a lot. But if he thinks about it just in his own sense, it's arrogance, and it's not walking pleasing to God. Let's go down a little bit more to chapter 12 and verses 1 through 4. I think this is the other boast that is foolish, in that we can boast in the flesh, and that's foolishness, but also boasting in things which cannot be known. In other words, Paul wants to teach people things that we can know so that we can use those to then glorify God. So those boasts are good. But boasting in things that are unknowable just doesn't help anybody. What's the point? It's foolishness. Chapter 12 and verse 1, Paul says here in verse 1, boasting is necessary, though it is not profitable. But I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. Now, as we get ready to go in these couple of verses, there's several different ways to look at this, and I'll try and give you a quick snippet of both of those and then give you what I think is the thing that's happening here. Paul's getting ready to talk about being caught up into paradise, the third heaven, and there's a view that perhaps this is Paul talking of his own experience, though he refers to himself in the third person. I know a man, he says here in this section, who was caught up to the third heaven in verse 2. And so maybe Paul is talking about himself, but as a third person. You and I do that sometimes to describe different things. And so maybe that's what's going on. But the other possibility is that Paul is getting ready to share something which is unknowable and couching it before and after with a description of foolish boasting. In other words, that what he's about to say here doesn't pertain to himself, but the way that people in Corinth would typically talk about their experiences and how experiences can sometimes just not teach anything. And that's my preferred, though I could go either way if we make a good case. So in verse 2 he says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a man was caught up to the third heaven, and I know how such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which a man is not permitted to speak. On behalf of such a man I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except in regard to my weaknesses. For let's start that over, verse 6. For if I do wish to boast, I will not be foolish, for I will be speaking the truth. But if I refrain from this, or rather I refrain from this, so that no one will credit me with more than he sees in me or hears from me. So, let's take a story that Paul's saying here. Let's say he's talking about himself or this third person. Maybe that's the case as well. And he says, hey, I know a guy who went to heaven. And you say, whoa, what was it like there? Oh, well, I can't tell you. Did you hear anything there? Oh, well, I can't tell you what I heard or he heard. Well, what can you tell me? Well, nothing really specific. That's not very helpful. And so here in the next couple of verses that we just read, Paul says, as far as concerns me, I'm going to speak the truth. And the truth is knowable. It's things that we can tell each other. It's things that we can search out in the Scripture. And once we hear the truth, then we can learn how to live And now that boast has directed me to God, as opposed to a person who supposedly, maybe truthfully or not, has experienced maybe something very interesting. And so foolish boasting then is to boast in the flesh, the things that will go away eventually for their own ends, and also to boast in things which you cannot know. Let's talk about the truth, things that are real and we can acknowledge as objective truth. And so then, with that, let's go ahead and talk about an objective truth. People who are even sitting next to you, people in other congregations which maybe you visited. And we'll talk now not about boasting in actions, but boasting in the brethren. And we'll start moving toward the end of our lesson here. So let's go over to chapter 3 and verse 1 of 2 Corinthians. This is a very interesting thing. Again, with our original understanding of boasting and arrogance, that's a very self-centered thing usually we think of, and it's about aggrandizing one's self. But here Paul will talk all over, and do it regularly, about boasting in other people, expressing his confidence in them, and that might be motivating to them or motivating to people that hear about them. And certainly it will remind them of things that are true about them. And so take a second while we turn over to chapter 3 and think about what's true here in the congregation in Dublin. What things does the congregation do well? Maybe what things does the congregation do poorly? How are you as an individual contributing to that? Just what's the truth of what's going on here in your life and in the congregation as a whole? Well, if we look at these things and see what are true, then we can immediately start to go, hey, I can boast or express confidence in these true things, especially these good things. In chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul says, are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, as some, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are, you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on the tablets of human hearts. Paige and I are working on trying to get into a new rental here coming up. Hopefully next week that'll work out if you're praying for us as well. But the landlord's asking for letters of recommendation. Your future boss may ask for letters of recommendation. Paul says, I don't need any of that. I have you, he says. Corinth. And as I was with you, this is letter of recommendation enough, but even he specifies here, it's not of me. Corinth is an example of, wow, Paul's a great teacher. Just look at Corinth. It's a letter of recommendation for Christ. And that's you too. When people are trying to say, hey, who's this Jesus character? And they're putting him on an interview to see if he's got a spot in the company of their life, they're going to go read letters of recommendation for him. And the only place they're going to find that, if they're not going to look at the scripture, is you. You are Christ's letter of recommendation, a reason for a boasting in him. And I don't know about you, but that makes me try to straighten up and fly right. Because people are looking at me trying to find him. And they're looking at you and I as well. He is written on our hearts, it says there in verse 3. And this is something that we should keep in mind. We've got a whole bunch of scriptures, which we won't go through for time's sake, but if you want to write them down, if you have notes as well, and if you don't, that's okay. What I would encourage is sometimes I do have just way more scripture than we can read. And if you do have paper and pen in front of you, it's nice to write these down for future reference. And if you'd like as well, I can always get you a hard copy of the outline so that you can see some of these details also. But if you look back at chapter 1 and verse 14, this will set us off for our last section here. Chapter 1 and verse 14, Paul once again talks about how we should boast in our brethren. We should express a confidence in them and be able to share with other people that I love my brethren because this. Or did you know that brother so-and-so does this? And maybe brother so-and-so wasn't doing it to be noticed. In fact, Jesus has some words to say about that. But it gets noticed, and it should be noticed. Paul will say in his letters that we should take note of brethren who imitate Christ and be aware of that. And so we should then be able to boast in the brethren. Here he says it in verse 14. He says, just as you also partially did understand this, back to verse 13, the things that he's read and written to them. Verse 14, just as you partially did understand us, that we are your reason to be proud, as you also are ours in the day of our Lord Jesus. So Corinth can look at Paul and say, I trust that he's going to be a good teacher. In fact, most of this letter, I trust that he's an actual apostle of Jesus Christ. And so I can express a confidence in that. And we can do that today as well. We can express confidence in Paul as an apostle. But we can also look to each other and express confidence in each other too. We can boast about each other, but not in the modern arrogant sort of way, and just expressions of truth. There's several things I want to just point out to you. Chapter 5 and 7 in both of those places talk about how we can boast of each other when we're being good examples. And so if you see a brother being a good example, you can go talk to them about that and say, I appreciate that. And I, like Paul says, I'm giving thanks to God every day when I see and hear about the example that you live. And you can do that also for other people. Maybe you don't go and tell them, but you can tell somebody else, hey, you know what? Maybe this person over here is struggling with an issue, and you know that this person over here maybe has handled that or is capable to handle that sort of thing, at the very least is a great example. You can say to this person, hey, I know a brother over there or a sister over there that could really help you out with this sort of thing. I trust that they could take care of you if you want to work with them. That's a boast, as Paul defines it. You can see that again in chapter 5 and 7. If you look at chapter 8 and 9, you can see that being a good example and boasting of the good examples of the brethren is a cause for good works, a motivation for good works in other people. Paul says to Achaia, which is the region that Corinth is in, he says that Macedonia has been setting aside a collection for all this time, and we've been boasting about you to them, and it's motivated them even more. And then he says, so you better keep up with it or else I'm going to be embarrassed, which is misplaced confidence, right? And so you see that in chapter 8 and 9. And he says there that because of your example, the boast I made of you, all these other congregations are like, hey guys, let's step it up. Isn't that exciting? Even within a congregation, to look around at other brethren. And please, please, because I've seen this happen, do not ever look at a brother that maybe you look up to, that's a great role model, and you see them just this great example of imitating Christ and go, I can't do that. I can't be like so-and-so. It's just, you know, years of practice. If I even get there, don't do that. The Bible says that these things, knowing about that, is a motivation to excel still more. When we see them being an example, we can boast of that, and it motivates other people. And know this, we'll finish up with this section here for this last point. Chapter 10 and verses 7 through 8 of 2 Corinthians. Chapter 10 and verses 7 through 8. We can boast when we know that we're doing things by the authorship of God. That He has authored a certain course of action. He's authored a book that describes that. And if we're living up to those things, if we're following His Word, we can express a confidence in that I'm doing my best to follow the Scriptures. Chapter 10, verses 7 through 8, Paul says here, you are looking at things as they are outwardly. If anyone is confident in himself that he is Christ, let him consider this again within himself. So that just as He is Christ's, so also are we. For even if I boast somewhat further about our authority as an apostle, which the Lord gave for building you up and not for destroying you, I will not be put to shame. So Paul can say, God gave me this job, and God gave you and I a job too. And we can talk about that truthfully and honestly and not be arrogant. Let's finish up with one last point, which is really the great thrust of all this. We'll kind of skip ahead through some of these scriptures. Boasting in action doesn't look arrogant. It's an expression of truth, which means that you and I can boast in brethren about the good example and live up to their examples for us as they live up to Christ. Paul will talk about that even in this letter. But finally, what greater place is there to put our confidence and to express the truth of that, in other words, to boast, by boasting in God? Not only the things that He has done, but who He is, and that He knows us and we know Him. Chapter 3 and verses 4 through 6, these are the last few passages that we'll look at. Chapter 3 and verses 4 through 6, we can boast, we can only do good because God has given us command and opportunity. So when you and I say, hey, you know, I'm living like a Christian should, He say, whoa, that's a lot to say there. That's what God asks of us, and if you're doing that, then good, that's good, and I would like to hear that. In chapter 3, in verses 4 through 6, sorry, I keep saying it here, we'll read it. He says, such confidence we have through Christ toward God, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. that the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So the only reason you and I are Christians today, have life today, have a reason for living, have purpose and principle and action and command in our lives, is because God gave it in the first place. So any boast of those things, any acknowledgement of doing His will, just gives Him more glory. And that should be done. Let's go over to chapter 10. And let's see here. Chapter 10, verse 13. We actually won't read this here, and you can make note of it. But the point here is that everything that we can boast in is trustworthy if it comes from God. So there may be ways that you and I look at ourselves. I'm doing a thing, and I think I'm doing it right. And maybe I'm just doing it totally wrong, and I'm messing up all sorts of different things with that. But if it comes from God, and if He said, do this in the Scriptures, then there's no reason to have any problem with it. It is trustworthy, it is a source of confidence, and we can live that. Lastly, and this is, I think, the main verse of this, is Jeremiah chapter 9. We're going to leave 2 Corinthians to get a good theme verse for 2 Corinthians, at least this thread. Jeremiah chapter 9. In verse 23, I love this verse because I've been on both sides of what it's about to tell us here, and I've kind of seen how it works, and definitely you see the truth confirmed, and there's a reason to boast in God's authorship here. But in Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23, this is the last verse of our morning here together. I should be in the right place, huh? Jeremiah 9 and verse 23. Thus says Yahweh, let not a wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts, and let's apply the same sort of definition, who expresses confidence in a thing, let him who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am Yahweh, who exercises loving kindness, justice, righteousness on the earth, for I delight in these things, declares Yahweh. Boasting is all about letting other people know what you trust. And so if we boast in ourselves without directing other people toward God, we're just telling people, I trust in my skills and my abilities as an individual, and that I produce those, and I will be the one who's the master of those. Or we can boast of the things that we do, express the truth of what we do, and direct people to Christ with those things. Boasting is about letting other people know who or what we trust. Arrogance is about letting people know that we trust in ourselves. But if you trust in God, and you trust in the things that He said, and you trust in who He is, and that you know Him, then you can boast of these things and of His children too. You express truth of these to all sorts of other people. As we close up this lesson this morning, if you're a Christian already, there's an invitation, and encouragement, if you will, here, that when we go out into the world, you and I have so much in our lives that's made us who we are, past experiences, skills, abilities, whatever. We can use those to further the gospel of Christ so that, like our last lesson back in March, this can all be for His sake. If you're not a Christian this morning, and you've been learning more about God and about His character, you can express trust in Him this morning, and you can boast in an action. In other words, you can display your confidence in God by being willing to be submerged in water, which normally kills people, right? If you stay there for too long. You go there to symbolize that you are dying with Christ. And when you come up out of that water, and in a kind of fleshly sort of way, you trust somebody to kind of help pull you up out of there. But what you're doing is you're expressing a trust and a confidence in God that now He has saved you by His grace. You can express that trust this morning. You can boast in Him this morning by entering into the gospel and being baptized for salvation. If you'd like to do that, let us know as we stand and sing a song together.